Gradually working our way through the Lord's Prayer. And we come now to the fifth of the petitions that are therein. Today we are looking at forgive us our debts, or in modern parlance, forgive us our trespasses. This petition is an explicit prayer for forgiveness. Forgive us our debts, and for a forgiving spirit as we forgive our debtors. Just a brief recap. The first three, four of the petitions, relate to the role of God as our Father. And the last four focus on our needs as God's children. And of these, the matter of forgiveness is of such importance that it's the only one that Jesus later took time to re-emphasize and develop in depth. You'll find later in the same chapter, if you look ahead, Jesus says, "For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." At least superficially, men and women don't seem to worry too much about their sins. But let's be honest, deep down, it is the deepest of human needs to be forgiven. I once saw a cartoon in a newspaper. I won't tell you which newspaper, but it was the Tory Graph. It pictured a psychiatrist talking to a patient. He said, "Mr. Smith, I think I can explain your feelings of guilt. You're guilty." See, modern psychology may seek to help man dismiss his feeling of guilt, but only the Christian faith helps man to be truly delivered from his guilt. In this model prayer, after we've asked the Father for provision, then we ask for pardon. Forgive follows give. And you will notice that the word "and" links the request for daily bread with the request for daily forgiveness. In that way, when we think of our food, we think of our need for forgiveness. Many of us are very conscious of our need for daily bread, but are utterly unconscious of our need for daily forgiveness. And we also need to remember that this is a family prayer. Our family. It doesn't deal with the sins of unbelievers. It doesn't deal with our standing before God, which was established at salvation and which can never be affected. It concerns the sins of the children of God, which hamper our fellowship with the Father. I don't believe any non-Christian ever receives forgiveness from God on the basis of claiming to forgive someone else. Although we receive forgiveness when we are saved, we'll never actually be able to enjoy cleansing in our Christian walk unless we're ready to extend it freely to those who offend us. And there are three basic attitudes associated with this extending of forgiveness. The first is, I can't. Jesus didn't tell his disciples that they could pray, "Lord, forgive me my trespasses, and I will try to forgive those who have wronged me." He told them that when they had forgiven others, then they could claim their own forgiveness. Sometimes we excuse our lack of forgiveness on the grounds that the one who's wronged us doesn't actually deserve our forgiveness. But the truth is, no one ever wronged you as much as you have wronged God. When God's grace comes into our heart, it makes us forgiving. We demonstrate whether we've been forgiven by whether or not we will forgive. The bottom line is, if I refuse to forgive, there can only be one reason. And that is that I've never actually received the grace of Christ. I am unforgiven. The second of these points I want to make is, I won't. We've had I can't, now I won't. When John Wesley served as a missionary to the American colonies, he had a difficult time with General James Oglethorpe. The general was known for his pride and harshness. One time, Oglethorpe declared, "I never forgive." Wesley replied, "Then, sir, I hope you never sin." William Barclay also paraphrases this petition to read, "Forgive us our sins in proportion as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Father, forgive my sins only to the extent that I am willing to forgive those who have sinned against me." Interesting thought, isn't it? When we refuse to forgive, this part of the Lord's Prayer actually, you know, becomes a curse. What we are really praying may actually sound something like this. I beseech you, Lord, deal with me as I deal with my neighbour. He's been ungrateful to me, though not one hundredth as ungrateful as I've been to you. Yet I cannot overlook his ingratitude. Deal with me, O Lord, as I do to him. Oh dear. And the third and final point is, I am willing. I can't, I won't, or I am willing. I don't know whether any of you have read the book by Corrie ten Boom called The Hiding Place. I expect a number of you have. If you haven't, you should. It is the most remarkable story. For those of you who don't know her, Corrie ten Boom was a little girl from Amsterdam who spent most of the war in Ravensbrück, the concentration camp, with her sisters, her mother and father having been already taken away to a different camp, an extermination camp. The Hiding Place is all about her time in Ravensbrück. And in it she wrote this. "It was a church service in Munich that I saw him, the former SS man who had stood guard at the shower room door in the processing centre at Ravensbrück. He was the first of our actual jailers that I'd seen since that time. And suddenly it was all there. The room full of mocking men, the heaps of clothing, the pain on my sister's face. He came up to me as the church was emptying, beaming and bowing. 'How grateful I am for your message, Fraulein,' he said. 'To think that, as you say, he has washed my sins away.' His hand was thrust out to shake mine. And I, who had preached so often to the people in Bloemendaal the need to forgive, kept my hand at my side. Even as the angry, vengeful thoughts boiled through me, I saw the sin of them. Jesus Christ had died for this man. Was I going to ask for more? Lord Jesus, I prayed, forgive me and help me to forgive him. I tried to smile. I struggled to raise my hand. I couldn't. I felt nothing, not the slightest spark of warmth or charity. And so again, I breathed a silent prayer. Jesus, I cannot forgive him. Give me your forgiveness. And eventually I took his hand. And as I did, the most incredible thing happened. From my shoulder, along my arm, and through my hand, a current seemed to pass from me to him, while my heart sprang a love for this stranger that almost overwhelmed me. And so I discovered that it is not on our forgiveness any more than on our goodness that the world's healing hinges, but on his. When he tells us to love our enemies, he gives along with the command, the love itself. Amen.